welcome everybody, especially for coming out on such a cold evening. Not too many times, it's 85 degrees on October 1st, huh? So I'd like to welcome everybody, to committee of the whole meeting of Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, at 7 p.m. I'd just like to say welcome to Gail from Independence, she's a councilwoman from Independence. Gail Rudry, she's here to talk about the banners. Mary invited her, we talked about it in our last meeting, so. Just wanted to make note of that. Thanks for being here. First order, call the order.
Councilperson Lindville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Kozowski.
Here.
Gailson.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
All council present, along with our fiscal officer, Katie Anacondis, and our law solicitor, John Montal. Next order of business, number three, persons having business before council. Come on, Chair. You have to state your name and address.
Hi there. Sherry Alexander, 7312 Walton Road, Walton Hills, Ohio. Like a good many people in Walton Hills, I viewed the video of our employees describing what they experienced under Mayor Hurst. And I just have some comments about that. I'm so angry. Just lost it. I'm so angry that Kevin Hurst browbeat and intimidated our employees, not his. I'm angry that he used our tax dollars to pay off and get rid of employees he didn't like. I'm so angry that he had no regard for fiscal responsibility and used our tax dollars to enrich himself. But what I'm most angry about is while all this was going on, what was the council doing? Did they approve the $300,000 buyout for Gary Rhines? Did anyone say, whoa, what is this all about? We can't afford this. I'd really like to see council address these issues. I'd like to know how these things happen with no one questioning anything he did. Any comments?
We do have another business.
I mean, if anyone wish to comment right now, if they want.
I don't know.
Or we can comment at the end, it's up to you.
Well, I wasn't here when Gary Rhines was paid out, so.
Mrs. Alexander, I was here when he was paid out, and he was paid out as part. Now, he did not get along well with Mayor Hurst, that's coming out.
Well, it sounds like not too many people did.
Well, I asked him to stay, but he didn't want to. That was part of and you'll have to forgive me because that was several years ago now, and I don't have the numbers fresh in my mind of what, but I do know when we were deliberating that and talking about bringing on a new chief and the cost effectiveness of doing that and having him bought out, all right, the money, it wasn't like, well, here's $300,000 and that's it. He was, I'm at a loss. I have to go back through my paperwork and see exactly what we did and why, but it wasn't that we just said, well, here's $300,000, go away. It wasn't like that.
No, there was, go ahead, Chair. I was going
to go ahead.
It just seems like he wasn't the only one that was paid up. That was the largest amount of money, but it just seems like Mayor Hurst didn't get along with a lot of employees, and he would just decide, oh, I'm going to get rid of them, and, you know,
well,
the rest of their contract.
The only other one that was paid out, to my recollection, was Chief Thelman for a couple months, if I'm not mistaken. We paid him through February, and he was in the drop program, which that's a police thing, and I cannot explain the drop program, but they accumulate so much time, they can buy into so much time, something like that, and he had to retire in February. So we brought the new chief on at a lesser amount than what Ken Thelman was making. Now, I did, and if anybody wants to interject on that, again, this is just coming up, so my memory isn't fresh on all of the intricate details, and I apologize to you for that. But when we did that, we did take a look at the cost of the new chief as opposed to him, and ultimately it was a cost savings for us.
Okay.
To do that. Now, the number of months it took, I can't tell you. I'm sorry at this point. But I can look up that information and see if I have it for you, of course.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. A lot of that was money owed for their time off, part of the separation.
That wasn't paid one way or the other.
But, you know, that's something we can share with you. I mean, it's public record to give you the details on what, as long as it wasn't part of any litigation.
I don't
wish that wasn't, but it's, you know, I mean, otherwise we can share with you. I mean, it's not a secret.
Being on the outside looking at it, just seems like he ran over everybody. He just did what he wanted to, and he wasn't questioned. You know, I cannot believe the way these employees were abused, and nobody up here knew any of that.
No one up here knew. I can tell you that. We did not know until Carol and Carlene approached me. We did not know because they were so segregated from each other that they were afraid to tell anyone because he would tell them, you know, council doesn't like you and Mary talks about you. They were afraid to approach us. It wasn't until poor Carol was having a breakdown that she approached me in February or March, and by July he had resigned. We did not know. We started to see the writing on the wall when Dan Stuckey, he wanted to get rid of him. And we put a stop to that. And then we were on the carpet ourselves. We watched everything he did. No one approached me prior to Carol last year in February or March. No, we did not know. And then we started hearing from everyone. And we can't fire him. It's not the private sector. But no one, we were beside ourselves with not being able to do anything. This is a tough role. We would like to have ousted him, at least most of us, and we couldn't. So it's hard to watch these good employees suffer like this. We had our hands tied, and it's been very difficult, say the least.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Getting back to Jerry Rines, there was a problem in the police department too. The employees that did not like Jerry Rines.
That's not what I've heard. That's not what I've heard at all.
Speak in the mic, please. Can't hear you.
That is not what I heard.
No, well, I can assure you at the time, the ones that were on council, we went through this and we vetted it and we talked about it. And so we don't do things willy-willy. I mean, it isn't just a quick decision we make on things. We research it and everything. So there was a cost to save money there, too. With Dan Stuckey, he retired and he was hired back on. He was still dipping at the public, and he was making a lot of money. He was getting health insurance, and we said, you know, your wife has health insurance, and now you're getting it from here.
He wasn't getting health insurance from us. Dan wasn't getting health insurance.
Well, there was something with his wife and that.
He wasn't getting insurance.
Well,
Believe me, that, you know, we look at things and discuss them.
Well.
You know, off the top of our heads.
And Mrs. Alexander, if I may, Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I've heard say 6-0 votes and all this, you know, for a long time and that. And that's what we strive to do. That is not to mean we're a rubber stamp in any way, shape, or form for any mayor, whether it's Don Colgraf, Kevin Hirsch, or Marlene Manielski. If you're not here, and most of those times we've had 3-4 people in here, you know. So if you're not here to hear the deliberations, yes, many things came before us, and we changed them, we talked about them, we had zoning codes, we had all kinds of things come before us, and we had the antenna thing come before us. We deliberated that, we looked at it, we talked about it, we changed things, and we were able to get 6-0 votes to make that piece of legislation better, where we all agreed on it, and then we voted on it. Some things that we talked about, let's say I threw out an idea, and I've thrown out ideas, and we've talked about it, and I've said, boy, that's a really, I'm glad we talked about that idea, because that's a bad idea, you know, and they never made it to being voted on. So, you know, I'm certainly not going to vote no on something just to get the occasional no, so it looks good for the casual observer to say, oh, well, they're really doing their job because they must really be looking into this. You know, that doesn't make sense either. And if you look at all the things that we did pass, take the last 5-6 years, there wasn't anything that I can remember that we've had contentious arguments over or anything. We had, like tonight, we're talking about the force main recommendation. Who's not going to vote for getting our sewer pump fixed? I mean, so, you know, when you look at it that way, you know, you have to look at it as an aggregate. You just can't say, oh, man, they got all these 6-0 votes. They must be just, yes, sir, Kevin, anything you want. That's not the way it happened. And people who were here during those times should know better.
Well, shame on me for not coming.
I didn't mean it that way. It's just that, you know, some people portray it that way. And I did, please don't take offense to anything I said. I did not mean anything offensive to you at all. It's just that some people say that, whether it's online or whatever, and it's quite aggravating for us here to hear that. And to see it, it's like, well, we're up here trying to do the best job we can too. We're residents.
Hey, you know, I understand that. I know it's not an easy job. I know you don't get a lot of money for what you do. I understand that. But I just am appalled at what Mayor Hirsch was able to do, as I well know you are as well. I mean, It's just ridiculous that it went on as long as it did and nobody stopped it.
Sherry, I'll tell you where, because I was a council person, of course, during all this, and you probably understand this, Yale. As far as council, Sherry, what went on in the office wasn't shared for years. In fact, I would see the mayor at events, recreation events, say, oh, look at these two. Laverne and Shirley done a great job. He would consistently say that. They'd be smiling at everybody, and I think, okay, everybody seems to be getting along. Okay? Mary made the statement. What probably really came to light was when Dan Stuckey, we were told Mr. Stuckey, you know, wants to retire, this and that, and...
I believe, excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I believe he said he didn't want to renew his contract.
Yeah, so...
He didn't want to resign, he wanted him out.
So I had a phone call with Mr. Stuckey, and Dan told me, well, council wants me out. But we were actually the ones defending him. But it's called conquer and divide, and that's what was happening. I know after I took this office, a couple employees told me, Don, we didn't talk to you for, we were kind of cold to you the last couple of years, because we were being told things that you were saying, you and Mr. Spitznagle, before his director's meeting, or what you want to call it, employees meeting, say, Mr. Calligraph and Mr. Spitznagle, they're not going to give you a raise, this and that. We didn't talk about it, he didn't talk about it with me, and then after we hear this, I talked to Brian, he didn't talk to Brian about it. It was a conquer and divide. All I can tell you is anything I voted on for what I thought was best at the time, not only for the village, but for the residents and for any employee. When this came to light, we reacted. I mean, that's that night, if Mr. Hurst wouldn't have resigned, there was legislation already prepared, and we were going to limit his firing and hiring until an investigation took place. But the mayor resigned. Before that, as you all know, myself, at the time, Carol said an apology would be enough. Carol and Nancy, we tried, of course, he gave an apology, which they felt well, because it really wasn't an apology. But at that time, me and Mary talked to Mr. Hurst and Bill Mason up at the park, and Mary met with Carl. I don't know if Carlene was there, but
yes.
I know. Carlene was there along with Mary the next day, Mr. Hurst and Carol. That was before the litigation. So, yeah, unfortunate, okay?
Very unfortunate.
But all I can tell you from my positions, I can't repeat it. You learn from it, I can't change the past, okay? I'm gonna try to keep moving us forward. I think, you know, that has been my goal in this council. When we did get in, we had some rights to do. I feel we did right by Carlene and Carol. Our service director came to us and said another employee wasn't fair what was going on with him in this body here. We brought it to them and they made it right. We did partner with a company called Your Partner in HR. They've been out here once. They gave an outline. They've seen 17 to 20 employees. They're going to see the rest. So we're trying to make things so it doesn't happen again. And it's not me, it's this body, it's all of us together. I feel responsible just as much as anybody else, yeah. I don't feel I wasn't the one who acted, so I don't feel responsible. I'm only responsible for my actions, just like you're responsible for yours. But I don't feel I had any negligence on reacting or us responding. We take everything very serious here when it comes to the employees and anything that goes on in the village. And I felt I've been doing that. I feel this council has been doing that. I can tell you this, me and Mr. Smith have been at wit's ends on both sides in very contentious arguments up here through court battles and everything. I was even subpoenaed by one law solicitor here along with Mrs. Tim, Mr. Lindmill. And we had this place filled. We had meetings across the hall because there were so many people here. But me and Brian talked about it the other day, but you learn that, you know, that's business and we have to still get along, still make decisions together, and you learn from maybe what you didn't do right the first time, you do right the second time. You know, you learn from it. So I agree with you. But we're not going to let it happen again. I know it's not going to happen under my watch. I'm sure nobody here wants it to happen again either.
No.
and neither do any of the people in the community ever want to see this happen again.
Well, we certainly can't argue with that. I think one of the biggest mistakes here was not having an HR group in place. Somebody, a third party. We didn't have a third party. Mr. Hurst had a person he used, but I think he used it at more at his convenience. The employees didn't have that person to go to. If they had a problem, he brought him in. That's not the case. Now that they have somebody they can go to.
That HR person sounded like he was just in Kevin Hurst's back pocket.
You need a compliance line, you need a third party in a small community like this, unless we had our own HR department. Somebody who's trained in it, and even more than one. What if you're not comfortable with one person and you want to see another person? You know, not everybody's comfortable with one individual they might want to see. So we're with a group that has, I think, about 6 to 8, I'm not sure how many, but about 6 to 8 different people.
All right.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other residents have anything before council?
Council, David Kwiatkowski, 7595 Walton Road. I am senior sergeant of the police department, and I can tell you for a fact that while Gary Rines was here, none of the police employees had any conflict with him. Thank you.
You're next, Ed.
Thank you. Ed Fox, 7133 Allen Drive. I haven't been over here in a while to speak in public, and tonight I'd like to make a statement about HGE Concrete, and then I'd like to hear some comments from the committee. I have evidence that regard to Sunday operations, they are in breach of contract on at least 2 occasions. With vacation and travel over the summer, it's hard to say how many times it occurred. For me, HGE service began in mid-August, and I informed the village of Sunday operations on August 25th. There's been quite a bit of attention to the matter since then, and that's why I was surprised that just this past Sunday, the 29th, they were operating yet again. So to me, in the course of a month's time, having been called out on it, the fact that they're back at it is just beyond the pale, and that's why I'm here tonight. 4 days after entering into the agreement, December 28th, the police were there on New Year's Day checking on an open burn. We know there was municipal dumping going on back there from spring throughout summer, which is also a breach. This past Saturday, they were working loudly back there past noon. While this may not be business activity per the agreement, it is not respectful of the neighborhood. I am told this may involve concrete processing, which if true would also be a breach, but that would have to be corroborated. John Webb, my neighbor, is going to speak a little bit more in depth about it, but my understanding is there's a restricted zone back there that they've been working on, and that may have EPA implications. I wrote to the village back in March that any organization behaving this way is capable of violating other covenants of the agreement. Time after time, they have provided no indication of operating in good faith with regard to the village or its residents. The pattern is such that they cannot be trusted. Section 16 of the agreement states that a breach will be decided in a court of competent jurisdiction within Cuyahoga County. I'd like to know if we've heard back from our attorneys, Berger and Eckler, on potential remedies and formal actions. I wonder about interim steps, such as cease and desist or business stoppage, coupled with the prospect of litigation. And you, of course, this would have to be communicated per Section 15, so the company gets it and their legal counsel receives it as well. HGE operates under a temporary occupancy and may desire variances in the future. In any event, there's no way that permanent occupancy should be considered until this matter is resolved. The enforcement of this agreement is important in setting a precedent for future negotiations with this and other businesses. Lastly, in Section 2 of the agreement, the developer is to landscape or fence to shield outdoor bin storage from the residential district. They have cleared much more of the property than I expected, so the back end is quite visible. The strip of woods back there has suffered from ash borer damage and ongoing deer depredation, so things are not going to improve over time, and by default, HGE will become more and more visible. I would like to better understand the concealment plan and ask the village to newly consider the residential areas and any remaining approvals that go before the Planning Commission. So in summary, we have a breach of contract, we've got a pattern of behavior, we need some timely action, and we also need to understand concealment. So I prefer to be elsewhere, but until we can have some enforcement of the contract, I'll probably be here monthly, and I'll look forward to your remarks and remain available for any questions. Thank you.
Ed, if you want to sit around, I'll remark. I know I'm not going to argue with Ed. We have thought a number of times, all the time, in fact. You either text me or call me, or I know we met last, what was that, Wednesday or Thursday, you were here for the zoning, we met in the back. Just to kind of give people a brief summary, HGE is a company that bought the old Bedford dump and bought it from the city of Bedford. The process was already started, I know, before I became mayor. That has anything to do with it. And at that time, they wanted to put this plant in place, this concrete plant. And they started it without even some permitting. When we put a stop to that, and we've kind of been going down this road with them. And we put a development agreement in place, which took, as you, the residents know, quite a long time. It was not good, and we still feel the same, not an owner we would like in the village. We couldn't stop him from buying the property. We couldn't stop him from developing the property. It is zoned for that usage. But we were able to get him to enter into a development agreement, and he agreed to a lot of things that he is, a few things that he is violating. As Mr. Fox said, he's not supposed to operate on Sunday. Our police, I actually have I brought the file with me, and I had the chief put it together. We got quite a few things on HG and Mr. Ennis. He doesn't, not supposed to operate past 12 noon on Saturday, which he has. Sent the police over at that time. Mr. Calvin's been over there probably more times than he would like, along with our engineers, and the EPA. We did have the EPA go over there. That is a separate report. With that, and I'm saying these things because, and I understand, it can't be fast enough for me, believe me. And as much as you hate coming up here, I hate giving the same old song and dance. And I'm going to tell you where it's at, and we'll let John can explain more of it. So Rob has been over there. We did take the EPA over there because he was going into non-restricted areas with his machine busting up cement. That was the loud noise. We did figure that out. Rob did go over there.
So it is processing, which is, he's not supposed to be.
Well, I'll let Rob explain that.
Okay.
Because I would say yes, okay. Of course, Jeremy is everything but that. Me and you share these conversations. What we did do yesterday, me and Mr. Montello were on the phone with the gentleman who put the development agreement together. Again, let me see his name. Rob McCarthy from Brickler and Eckler. And we weren't happy he didn't have anything, but he said that I wanted to have something for tonight, even sooner. But he said he's almost done and going to tell us where we stand legally. Now, whether or not we share all that with you, only because we certainly don't want to share what might happen with Mr. Ennis. Because that would be the
smartest. If I may, I mean, my thing is, and we've talked about it, I'm not convinced that he's breaking the law outright. So when the officers go over there, it's nice that he's getting some attention. forma to me when I look at this, and I'm not an attorney.
Right.
It just seems like what we're dealing, the realm we're in is a contract law realm. I mean, he's in breach of contract. I mean, I have proof on my device on a couple of occasions, so we know that. So I'm interested in what, you know, Mr. Montello, in conjunction with Bricker and Eckler, is going to talk about in terms of potential remedies. I mean, we're to the point now where I think we just really need, you know, we need to understand what the action steps might be, and then also I'm interested in the timeline, if possible. I realize sometimes these things unfold over a long period of time. But all of the other stuff, very nice so far. Some of it anecdotal. I'm interested in action, or I wouldn't be here tonight.
I'm on the same page with Chad. Same exact page. So go ahead, John, if you want to share where we're at.
Sure, we'd be trying to mediate problem, you know, to talk to the man, but it doesn't seem to be working at all. I think he's progressing, but some of the things that he has to do in order to get an occupancy permit, although I'm not 100% sure, he still has a few things up to do. We thought to bring the EPA in on, but that would be a good tool to, you know, use to leverage him. I don't think the EPA has made a final decision as to what he's supposed to do or not do, and that could take some time. I don't know if the EPA is
going to... I was going to defer to my neighbor John on some of those issues. I don't want to steal his thunder, but yeah, I don't expect things like that to take, you know, to happen overnight, but I think some of the other stuff we could probably maybe move a little quicker.
I did hope that they would be a little quicker than it has. You know, I think, you know, I don't know if we have the deadline to look at, but I respond to the fight. Being a lawyer for so many years at the EPA, sometimes only for a year or two,
understood.
But the we were hoping that they would do something sooner and, you know, give us some guidance as to whether they could be doing what they're doing or not. I've received nothing in writing. I don't think the mayor or anyone here has received anything in writing from the EPA yet. They were out there with the city engineer and Mr. Gilman, and spent several hours, I believe, going over the site and examining what was happening there. And so I guess we're exhausted too. So we have the, you know, we're trying to not, litigation sometimes progresses for a year or two as well. You know, we were hoping that he would be more reasonable. There's some talk of a mound being built, you know.
I mean, there's several neighbors here. Some of them may even speak to that. It's just, I think, you know, what I'm interested in is when you expect our attorney to come back with something.
Well, we finally said that that's enough, and I told him that we did ask him to have something for today, but he wanted more information from us before, because he has progressed a little bit, and he wanted to get the total picture before he makes the final decision and the timeline. So we'll have that to him, hopefully, you know, this week, I'm sure.
Is he interested in hearing the residential concerns? I mean, I wonder if he might share. I mean, you know, we record these. It might be interesting for him to hear some of what I just said and some of what my neighbors will say, just as a thought.
Sure, that'd be a good idea.
I think it would give him a little flavor for what's going on.
Exactly, and that's what I want to know. It has helped. That is one of the concerns we've expressed, is it's not just that he's breaking development agreement, he's also violating things with the residents. We even have other businesses, his competitors, that are looking at this, and they have the same concerns. And I mean, we're getting it from all ends. There's just, you know, so yeah, anything we forwarded, I have the pictures. We have pictures. I was over there this Sunday again. Rob was in this Sunday. We were over there a couple of Sundays ago. We have pictures. We got videos. You have sent me, I think you sent me a video and pictures too. And now I'm going by the email, John, here from Rob McCarthy. He says I'm going to have something here tomorrow.
Okay. But well, anyway, we have a full house. I will go sit down.
Yeah, that's...
I do thank you for your time, and I just wanted to make it official, even though we've spoke several times and probably will continue to do so. There's something about doing it in a public forum, so thank you.
No, we need it. And you know, it's like we said in the police, I know this weekend, what stinks is I can't send them out there and cite them, because we all know if you can cite somebody and hit them in the pocketbook, it changes things. Send the police out there, talks to them, He was out there, one of our officers was out there early, then he went back out there because the owner wasn't there, then he went back out there to talk to the owner and copy the development agreement. And so that's why we need to get something that says this is what we can do legally. I can just tell you this, we're not afraid to take a hard action if we need to. It's just the way it is.
To me, we're missing an interim step, and I think that when you learn a little bit more from the attorney, then we'll know a little bit more about what that might be.
So, right.
That's.
I wish attorneys weren't so slow.
Well, yeah. You know,
yeah, so that's the.
Mr. Montella would probably say thorough.
Well,
thorough.
Yeah. They always have, I hate to say it, John, they always have some excuse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we have a copy of the agreement here?
Yeah, I have.
I know that I was here at that planning commission meeting, as several other people were, too, with the working on the weekends and things like that. I'm just wondering how that's exactly worded.
It's very specific as far as
if you don't have it, I can hand
it. No, I have it right here. For the section two, on Saturdays, business activities on the property may only take place between 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. On Sundays, no operation shall be permitted. That's another thing that we did talk about with Brickler and Engler. They have to define operations, because to me, it was supposed to be shut down, nothing take place. This Sunday, Jeremy's excuse was, oh, I'm not selling concrete, I'm cleaning my trucks. I told you already, I heard every excuse.
I mean, that's beyond, that's unusual.
And his excuses will continue then.
Right. The truck, he was delivering concrete.
I mean, we've had meetings with his attorney. He gets an attorney here and there. He brought in an attorney because he's accused the village of discriminating against him. One of his attorneys I did see last week, and he said, how are things going? And I told him they're not going well, and it's...
Mr. Mayor,
you're not going to hear no bull crap because it's... is what it is. Stinks. But go ahead.
Just for my two cents, and the attorneys are going to hash this out, but I'm in full agreement with you. Operations, I don't care if they were just washing their truck. That's an operation for the benefit of the business. That's how I look at it. Of course, the attorneys might have a different view, but, you know, we have an agreement, and the village has to live up to their end of the bargain, and they have to live up to their end of the bargain. And we need to, you know, we value our business customers, our partners in this village, but we all have to live up to our agreements, and especially if it's bothering residents.
And we work hard on that. You guys know. Yeah, and he agreed to it. Somebody said he might be here tonight, and I know Jeremy would have came up here and he would have said something, and he would have tried to get in this whole debate with me, and I would have said, Jeremy, it's just simple. Follow the rules, get the agreement, and things will be okay. That's simple, right? I mean, we hashed it out, he signed it. It got filed with the county. We did our end. Go ahead, John.
He did call and he said, we think I should attend the meeting today. And he said, well, that's better or not, because I don't want to become contentious. So I think he's starting, obviously, if we file a lawsuit or whatever happens and we decide to proceed, I think it's going to boil down, you know, to cut to the chase. But the agreement's probably going to have to be modified, you know. That's what the judge is going to say. So go in there and work out the agreement, make sure everybody's happy. So maybe we can agree to some mediation or arbitration and invite you residents that are most affected by it and we participate. Maybe that would save a lot of time and money.
Our goal is to make them abide.
Yeah.
The thing that's good in the agreement, you can't hold us liable. Actually, we can go after his legal costs. In here, and that was something that
and see where it's at. But so if it violates the agreement, we could collect our fees and costs.
Yes.
But vice versa too. I mean, we still have, we haven't done some things other than, you know, we put a redo at a road and, you know, I'm not sure where we're at on that.
Well, the road ain't gonna have to.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's what we're gonna modify at some point.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. John Webb, 7170 Allen. I was at the last planning commission meeting. It was on December 17th of 2018 with HGE sitting here. The skunks that they are. And I just want to say that I noticed the ad for the Tinker's Creek Watershed Festival. Maybe they need to go to that because they're probably doing more than just violating their development agreement. I'm assuming that the horrific noises that I hear every day for the last month is these guys probably doing something with their retention pond or their retention basin. I'd like to know if it was up to snuff before they started work, day one of business. I know a little bit about wastewater, stormwater, retention basins. I did it for 32 years. I'm a class 3 operator, still have an active license with the Ohio EPA. And my question is that I know they're operating under a temporary permit, but do they have a retention basin, Rob?
Yeah.
They are? Are they not working on it right now?
No. John, why don't you think then Rob can get up and talk? I mean, it's just so people can hear him too.
Okay. My question is this then. So they have an MPDES stormwater permit to operate.
That would be through engineering, I don't know.
That'd be through the EPA. When you call the EPA, they're assuming you're calling because there's a problem. So are they operating without an MPDES permit? They have to have one to discharge stormwater into our streams.
They have everything necessary, according to Joe Gelati, our engineer. Rob, you want to explain meeting the EPA out there, who was all out there? Because we brought them out there because of what we thought they might be dumping and such, John.
I don't have my notes with me, but Joe Gelati and myself met the EPA, NEORSD, the Department of Health. There's two people from each agency. We spent 4 hours walking around the site, and we're awaiting the report.
Okay.
So the EPA saw their detention basin. They saw where they were washing out concrete. They saw where they were working. Over the where the old landfill is, and honestly, there's a bunch of agencies pointing at each other. You know, the EPA says, well, as long as they don't get in the garbage line next to the creek and they're stockpiling, we don't care. And I said, well, we care because there's no grading permit. And then NERSD says, well, as long as they put silt fence around it, then we're fine. There's a bunch of agencies pointing at each other is what it comes down to. But they did review concrete washout, reviewed skimmer, retention basin, everything else. So they were there and they did review it. They didn't really have any comments about what the work he has done.
And when was that meeting, Rob? Just so it was only about a month ago?
Probably 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
So we thought that would, you know, if they were doing something illegal, that would shut them down. They would shut them down, but that wasn't the case. You know?
Just a quick question. Does this council know what a retention basin is for?
Oh, I know what a retention basin is. When you're asking council, yeah. They don't need to, though.
Okay. Well, a retention.
I can explain it to you.
No, the idea of a retention basin is to reduce
stormwater, to hold the water and let it evaporate.
Yes, but there's a biological process to it
right here. Right.
The biological process is to remove 3% of the nitrates and phosphorus. It's called denitrification. That's what they're for.
Right.
So these processes require maintenance. There is nothing to believe, that leads me to believe that these guys will ever maintain their basin. As a matter of fact, if you have a basin that's not being maintained, it's going to add nitrogen to the receiving water. It's called a nitrogen influx.
What do you do to maintain that?
There's things that you can do to maintain it, like aerators. You can dredge it. You can get some of the, you can take some of the sediment that's sitting at the bottom, and you can remove it. In fact,
But that's once it's filled, and we're going to, why wouldn't we make them do that?
Who's going to make them do it?
Rob, you want to talk about that? I mean, what I'm saying is we're not at that point right now.
But my question was, is that do they have they have a retention basin.
Right.
Okay? I'm assuming it's been EPA approved.
I would hope so.
I'm assuming they were out there before they did business, not before day one.
No.
Yes. I'm going to say yes, because I rely on our engineers. Okay? And but I will confirm that. We rely on Chagrin Valley Engineering and Don Sheehy and Joe Gelati. They were very involved in this process. They approved the permits. It was all done with an architect. They hired an architect, Mark Henry, an engineer too. As Rob just said, we brought the EPA out there. So we had to inspect the site. So we're waiting for the report. We want them to do all that stuff, John, that's required. There's no reason for us not wanting to.
You have more faith in them than I do. Well, I listen to their nonsense.
I don't have any faith in HGE. That's why we're sending the agencies up there. That's why we're looking at legal counsel to enforce our development agreement. To think that I have as much faith, I was very skeptical just as much. There was nothing we could do in that process. We did the right thing. We sat him down at the table and got at least to a development agreement. When it started, he wanted verbal agreements with me. And we had him go through the permitting process. He's gone through the permitting process. We are following the letter of the law. And I appreciate, I understand the frustration. And we want to do what's right. Rob comes in and then Joe Gelati's been out there and we're dead. That's all I can say to that. That's why we got the EPA out there, because we were worried about the washout. He was washing out his trucks. We were worried about that. Rob picked up on it. That was one of the things why we called the EPA. We are not just ignoring that site. In fact, he's actually claiming that we're discriminating against him. But we don't care.
Good, I'm glad you don't. And I'm not here to argue. I'm not. But at the same time, through this all, you look at the mission statement of the village. To promote and improve the quality of life and maintain the country home atmosphere of the village of Walton Hills. That's the first bullet point. And through this entire process, I hope that everybody on council, yourself, our engineers, we all remember that.
We are.
Mr. Mayor.
If somebody could tell me something that I could do different, or I could do better, or we could have, we didn't own the property, they bought the property, double the asking price. And we looked into zoning, whether or not they didn't even have to come before and get a variance. They didn't have to come before zoning.
Council approved it.
They had to. There was nothing. You can't stop a company coming in if they meet the zoning. You can't stop a company. It would be sued.
You had a member of the planning. I believe you had a member of the planning commission that voted no.
Yeah, but that's, they can vote no.
Yeah,
but if all of us would have voted no, they could have still put that there, John. And they voted no. They didn't vote on no of putting it there. They voted no on like the facade or different things like that. Not whether or not putting it there. It wasn't. We don't vote whether or not the planning commission would vote whether or not to put the HGE. They bought the property. They can build up. They've already met. That's why they didn't have to go to get a variance for anything. They already met all the requirements.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, the use was permitted.
This was handed to us. Nobody wanted this. Nobody wanted HGE there.
I hear a lot of employees.
And we have done, we are working very hard. I talk to the mayor almost daily, and I hear, oh, I said, how's it going, HGE? I mean, and we are trying to hold their foot to the fire. At least we've got things in writing. We've got the agreement. He had had verbal agreements prior to Mr. Collegraph coming in that would have run amok if we didn't have the leadership we have right now.
Who?
This has not been...
Who's he?
Jeremy had with the previous mayor.
That's why he wanted continued verbal agreements rather than our contracts. We didn't want this. This was given to us. So I, like the mayor, appreciate your frustration. We're doing everything we can to get this taken care of.
He wants us to sell him our village property. All the time. Can't even manage the existing property, but wants to buy our other property.
That's all I have.
No, thank you, John. It's not...
Mr. Mayor.
It's... Understand, believe me, the neighbor's frustration. Because, you know, you get an agreement, the village enters an agreement, and you see them not abiding by it, and I would think the same thing. My gosh, what was this, just a piece of paper to appease everybody? And that's how, that's, you know, I feel the same way. You know, thank God all other businesses aren't like that. You know, you say something, they think, you know, just, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Fox, Mr. Webb, Mary Therese, Mrs. Moan, Mr. Main, Mr. Flato, I'm sorry. I understand also, as Mary said, your frustrations. We really do. We tried to do everything we could to protect you guys, and we're still trying to, and it's very frustrating to me. And I've also talked to Don several times a week, and it's Jeremy, you know, and that's all he has to say anymore. So he is keeping us apprised, and we are trying to do what we can for you guys. We really are, and we're trying to follow the legal way to do it. And one of the things, one of the first things that Don did was say, no, you need to get permits. And we started that development agreement. So at least we have that as a contract to try to do what we can to help protect you guys. But I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, yes, I would like to point out that we are actually lucky that we do have a development agreement. I recognize that they have to get permits to do certain things. But we have two other concrete operators in the village that do not have development agreements with us that I'm aware of to not operate on weekends and to you know, not do this or not do that. So at least we have a piece of paper from them that's signed that says we will not do this in order to come into the village. So, you know, we're hanging our hat on that, but, you know, just keep it in perspective that they did not have to sign any agreement like that with us.
Correct.
So, and they did, and that's
and
our
that,
only
that's the frustrating part.
Right, exactly. And they freely did.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I said before, we are going to hold their feet to the fire, but we have to do so legally. We just can't, you know, unfortunately.
It's very frustrating. I know when you guys were hearing some noise the other day, and Rob went over there, and I know I might have shared this with you, Ed, but Rob goes over there, stops Jeremy from doing what he's doing. And what does he say? I'm making a mound for the residents, so it's better for them. What does Rob say? You don't have a permit. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. Of course, Rob stopped him. I mean, that's just what, you know, try to make it like, okay, we're doing you, now we're doing everybody here and myself, the village, a favor. We don't want that. Operate within the development agreement, and then we'll see what we can do with more, to, you know, protection and stuff. But before we jump to that, I mean, it's just very, very, very frustrating. So we're going to do what we can do. That's Rob's probably. Rob, you want to add anything to it? You're right in the Rob's right in the middle of it. And that kind of goes with his territory. Because he has to go over there. And good thing he's a big guy.
I guess all I'll say is I, Mr. Fox, where are you? When I received the text from the mayor on Sunday and I was celebrating my my son's birthday, I stopped what I was doing and I came in here. As I have in the Sundays previous, I do everything I can. What we have here, I just cut right to the chase, we have a situation, you're right, it's contract law. We knew that weeks ago. That's not something that we just found out. The only thing we can do is litigate it. We just got out of some recent litigation. I don't think we want to jump into more litigation. We've been trying to mediate. Mr. Montello has been talking to the owner. I've been pleading with the owner. I understand you're hearing the noise. We're trying to, because at the end of the day, this is an individual that invested money into our community. He did not have to sign the development agreement. Honestly, I'm surprised because his competitors are permitted to work on Saturday and Sunday. But he did sign it. Now we're to the point where we have to enforce it. And it's really legal more than anything else. And if it comes down to it, and we just, if it's certain litigation, then I'm sure that's the route we'll take. Go ahead.
Do I need to come back up to have a follow-up?
Probably.
If it's going to be,
I'm just curious. I don't remember seeing an arbitration clause in the contract, and if there's not one in there, I would be very careful about that avenue because, any new agreement like that, we've seen the track record. I'm interested in enforcing the contract.
I guess when I said mediate, I meant us discussing with him. That's what I meant. I didn't mean like formal.
But I think that with an individual like this, it just doesn't seem like that's going to have any kind of impact. I mean, this is beyond the, what most of us encounter in the normal course of doing business. It's a unique case. I understand that. And unique cases, unfortunately, usually have to be handled within the bounds of the contract.
Agreed.
It'll be interesting to see what Bricker Network says. And
absolutely.
I guess we'll go from there. I realize you guys can't share everything with us, but insofar as what you can share, clearly we're interested, even if it's just updates, timelines, whatever. So I just want to make sure we got it out there and made it clear what everybody's dealing with on our end and we can move forward.
And Rob, I didn't want you to come in on
That was not my intent.
That is not, yeah.
One thing to bother the mayor.
And I told Rob, because I came in and dealt with the policeman to go out there, but what I did do, I did text him just to share it with him and John Montello, just Mr. Montello, so they were aware. So, go ahead, Rob.
If I may, Mayor. I guess to cut right to the chase, you guys are paying the ass. Okay.
Please.
So when it's put in the paper that this mayor should be embracing the $4 million of the steel building that was put on Northfield Road and the concrete company that does nothing but make me come in the weekend and I really don't bill for my hours, it's a pain in my ass. We will do everything we can to enforce the development agreement. And it's too bad that I had to come to that.
Nicely put.
That's all I have.
It's Sunday.
I don't want to be around for
it. Anybody else have anything to say? Okay. Any other comments from any other residents before we move on to the meeting? I brought so many papers, and half of them have to do with HG. Anybody have any comments from council?
I'll let you know.
Anybody have any comments from council? Okay, Mary, do you want to...
Defer that under other business.
I guess you can introduce Gail and go from there.
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Gail and Radard.
Radard, okay.
Radard.
Just, Mayor, thank you for the promotion, but I'm not a council person of the city.
Oh, I thought you were.
And now I'm a very loyal and happy employee in the mayor's office of the City of Independence. I watch this kind of thing go on all the time. You have such an engaged, eloquent council, but you people should be so proud of yourselves that you're all here and also eloquent and you've got done your homework and you're so engaged. I was born and raised here, so driving here tonight, I was coming home, 7171 Berridge Drive. It's really fun, but real quickly, Mary contacted me a few months ago. I had a new friend in 10 minutes. We realized we grew up here together, did not know that, and we went to high school together. And I just got off the phone just in awe of how special she was. So really, I know it's not easy to come and spend after whatever you're doing at City Hall on a 90-degree day, but I'm impressed. And I know a lot of you aren't happy right now. I'll see that, but I wish you the best. Anyway, what kind of questions can I answer for you? What can I tell you, Mary?
Well, I was going to let the audience answer, anyone here, but there is, in your packet there, an application that the City of Independence puts out, and we kind of discuss the costs, and... Gail is good enough to...
This is a little mini example.
Mini one.
We have banners going down 21 West Pleasant Valley for the past 3 years. Military people, I don't police it. If it's important to you, it's important to you. If it's your loved one, it's important to us. So it doesn't... We don't say you had to have lived in the City of Independence for 30 years to... get a spot on the row. It's about our residents and if their father or uncle, mother, you know, it's very important to them. It's been a huge bringing together of the community. You drive down the street every day and you say, thank you. I never served a day in my life and I don't know this person. Thanks. So it's a little costly. The startup is. After that, it's not so much. It's been worth it for us, but I am happy to answer your questions. I'm not sure what direction you're thinking
of. Well, Gail, I emailed Carol, the...
Carol Graphics?
Yes. He was going to give you a piece of the material.
Yeah, I have it here for you.
Okay, thank you.
He wanted to print you a whole banner. They're 100 inches high by 30 inches wide. No, I don't think they want that. This is for all the council.
It'll
help. There's some contact information. This is the actual material, even though it's not our banner. It's like a marine grade vinyl, very heavy. It doesn't rip, doesn't fray, it doesn't fade. They do get dirty from road exhaust, but you just kind of don't see it. We are very fortunate in the city. We never own part-time graphics person. So he designed our banner. I put examples in your packets, but I just pulled off the internets from other cities. It's a two-year program.
Let me pass it around.
So if you were to choose audience. To honor someone special,
let me pass it around the audience.
The price banner belongs to you. We charge the exact price that the printing company charges us to our residents, which as of today was $172 per person. There's a two-year opportunity. Second year, there's a $40 charge for our service department to put up, take down, and maintain. After a severe storm, they do get a little wrinkly, and I'm very proud of our service department. I've never heard, it's not my job, it's not in my contract, I'm tired, I'm going home. If I say, Mr. Pismarski is pretty wrinkled, and it doesn't look nice, and his family, it means everything to them, they're up there. And it's awesome. After the 2 years, the banner goes back to the resident, they own it. But I do keep records of retired banners, and my hope was that at some point, if interest waned, that I could call you back and say, you were the very first banner sponsor. Would you be interested for $40 in putting up again this year? I can't do it. My waiting list is out 2 years now, that long. Yeah, people just, it means a lot. So I don't think any of us doesn't know a veteran or have one in their family. And for Mary to want to bring that to your town, which is my hometown, it means a great deal. There's some homework involved. When I was driving here, I was coming from Independence. You've got a lot of big trees. You've got a lot of aging poles like we do. So you've got to find out how many viable poles you have. Your service department is probably really good at something like that. I'm not. We buy our hardware. The city absorbs that cost from Carroll Graphics. And we probably invest a little over $200 per pole to get it prepared to accept the banner. But that's permanent banner. And then sometimes you want to put
thank you.
Or, you know, your bicentennial, whatever, you always have that, Christmas banners. We try and get them up in April. They come down for Veterans Day. And what we do is the mayor has a luncheon for whoever sponsored the banner, their family, and he personally returns it and gives his thanks. I can't tell you how happy it's made everybody. I hope sometime you get a chance to drive down 21 in Independence or West Pleasant Valley. You have some residents, and I don't remember all the names, I've got 101 banners up there now, that have come to me and said, I live in Walton Hills, but my dad, you know, was raised in Independence right on Pleasant Valley. Come on in. We love you. We're grateful. And so that's the way it works. You have to do a little homework to decide if it's in the budget. I know some cities look for sponsorship. And I just get a little upset. What is it, HG? Whatever they are. Some communities will go to their business residents and look into a sponsorship. So your HGE, would you like to be a gold sponsor and throw $10,000? whatever it might be. We did not do that because we were fortunate enough to work it through. And we started very small. We started with 30 banners. The next year we had to go to 62. We're at 101 and we're out of viable poles at this point. Anything I can answer for anybody? I did include in your packets my contact information and one of our service foremen who has just become an expert about what poles are viable, how to put the apparatus on. It's a little bit of a commitment on your service department. It's a job. And city employees, it's city money, it's your taxes. But it brings you together as a community really nicely.
Gail, the gentleman who was sitting there by you, he's on one of the poles there because his parents now live in Independence.
He lives in Independence. His parents still live.
Oh, he lives in Independence, but he's there.
Yeah, we were hoping you were going to have Rob's picture for us.
We were gonna
I haven't been able to find it. I haven't been able to find it yet.
Yeah. This is funny. Not funny. This is heartwarming. Carroll Graphics, our printer, this gentleman passed away this year. And we have had the service department before bring banners down, take it to the funeral home, display it. They put it right back up, and the next day you see flowers and wreaths all over the base of that pole. It just brings you to your knees. But when this gentleman passed, whatever their circumstances were, they couldn't accommodate this 100-inch high banner. And Carroll Graphics said, no, we'll make a special one. So the family brought this to me so I could share it with you. But they had this display at the funeral home. It was just a total act of kindness. And he's done that many, many times, which is a great award. So once again, you've got to kind of come up with a plan of what you would like your banner to look like. Some communities across the country run a contest. I would contact some schools. I don't know, Tracy West does graphics department, and your students, let them design it for you. Let it represent Walden Hills. And it's just a thought. You might want to just do it, you know, in-house and see what happens. I don't know what it would cost to not have your own graphics people. Do you have that ability here?
No.
Yeah, right. No, I understand. We were lucky.
Hilarious.
So, it's a thought. Independence.
Gail, so you rotate, 2 years is the commit, like 2 years is what you're saying, and that probably would depend, was it 2 years of different because of the life of the banner?
No.
Or was it just because you had that many people and you wanted to rotate them out?
Right.
Okay.
Give everybody a chance that we could. But if you're going to pay $172 for a banner, we want to give you as much bang for your buck as is possible. Why we try to get them up early in the spring and take them down in November. We take them down for the winter for the obvious. We don't want them exposed to road salt. And it's kind of out of respect. Then when they go back up in the spring, it's just totally refreshing again. But after the two, and I keep them during the between because we can keep them in a climate controlled atmosphere. I didn't want to go into somebody's garage or house. But our service department is willing to share their knowledge, their information. Mayor Tyler Addy, it never would have happened without his go. We've got my phone number. I don't know. We made a couple of rules of our own. We do not accept any photos with weapons in them. I understand, as we all do, the military defends us. But I've got 12-year-olds riding their bike down the street, and I don't want an AK-15 or AR-15, whatever they are, in the picture. No one has given us a problem with that at all. The other rule that we did as a city, someone had brought me a photo of their loved one. It was probably from the 50s. Handsome guy in uniform, and he's holding a cigarette. And I called him and said, I have to crop that out. And they said, that's who he was. I said, that's who my dad was, too. But I'm not going to glamorize that. I'm going to crop it out, or we're going to need a different photo. And they said, okay, and no problems there. So that's something that you know you need to make your own decisions about. But
Gail, thank you. Thank you for coming and waiting. And I just wanted everyone here to hear it right from the horse's mouth. I did give them a little bit of the information you gave me. And what I thought is that we'd either put it in the owl or put it in the journal or something and take a survey. Who would be willing to, who wants to do something like this? And I'd love to. I would pay the money. You know,
we don't have this box at
my
all.
Dad, my son up there, absolutely.
Yeah. We did do 1 year, it's in your packet somewhere. You would see a banner, and people would say, well, what is this person's story? And, you know, what happened, and where, and why? And so some residents volunteered to write their story of their loved one, and we called it Behind the Banner and published it in our version of the album.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool.
That's really cool.
In your packets. I think I have three of them. They'll bring you once again to your knees because we have POWs and amazing people that have done so much for all of us so that we can all sit here and hash things out. Because we live in America. Anything else they can answer for you?
Does council have anything for Gail?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have this one here with this quote.
Sure.
It says 43 banners at 142 each, and then the other figure $6,200.
Right. That is, the banners are paid for by the residents. So I showed you the two quotes. That was not the city's bill. They bring me a check for $172. It's deposited into a specific financial account. For that bill, and so I wanted you to know the residents are paying, they're buying their own banner. The other quote you're seeing is for hardware, and the beauty of it is it's permanent. You can always put up Nutcracker Christmas banners in the winter, or, you know, whatever you want to do. It's there. We reinforce it with stainless steel strapping, just to maintain it. But do you know what I mean? I brought that just so you can see the difference.
$142 for the banner that the resident purchased.
Right.
What is the other cost?
The hardware. There's actual hardware that has to be attached to the pole.
And how much would that be?
It would run you per pole to get started, probably a little over $200 per pole.
Says right on here, banner kits are $142.
But we have things like we had $172. On the screen, hang the banners, and all of a sudden we have this great spring, and you're driving down 21 and you can't see Mr. Smith, and Mrs. Smith is upset. And out of respect, service department was out there and did a great job. But it's service, and it needs money. So it's a little bit more of a commitment, more than just a more romantic notion of something nice to do. It's an investment on the part of your city. Does anybody have any questions? Yes?
Go ahead, Karen. So be loud.
I am very loud, okay? I would like nothing more to see my husband's picture on the pole in front of my house. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he was just being to death doing to age of war. I live on a 35-mile-an-hour road. Okay, in order to, I believe your roads are 25 miles an hour. Correct. Okay. At 35 miles an hour,
21
people
is. Pleasant Valley's not.
The traffic cameras. They're slowing down here, but not in front of my house. I would like to know what kind of a situation that'll create, because we had Christmas Wonderland down the street and a big sign saying no stopping. Okay, it's the same pretense. What if people are slowing down on a 35 mile an hour road to look up? And you also have lighted banners on each one, isn't that correct? Isn't there a light above?
Not on each one. We have our
quite a few of them. Because I went down there, because this is a very hard decision for me. I would love to see my husband's picture up there, but I'm also thinking of safety. And I really don't think that that's going to be, I think that's going to be overlooked, because people are going to be gawking down the road.
It's a really vital question. It's very, very bright for you to bring that up. When we did the first 30, I was driving down 21 because I was all proud and excited, and I was looking up and I locked up my brakes to avoid getting the person in front of me.
And I also have a flag on my pole put up by the village.
Right.
So does this go above this, below this, or do I not
it
have a flag?
It depends on whether your pole is even viable to accept the hardware. Some of them have too much apparatus on there to even accept the hardware. So what we do is our non-viable poles get a flag. And poles that we can use, we do. My suggestion to your concern, because when we went to double the program from 30 to 60, was, are we going to cause some traffic accidents? Because even going 25 or 30, people looking up. So I went over to the police chief and said, we're making this commitment, the phone's ringing off the hook. If we had any traffic-related accidents due to the banners. And he said, not one. In fact, they're slowing down. So there's two sides to that story. And we really have not had one. The issue of placement, we started off saying we can't guarantee placement. I kind of went by the wayside, because I would have a 90-year-old woman calling me saying I live right on 21.
You guys got mine right.
And, you know, I just want to see my bill, you know, every morning. I don't drive, and, you know.
I'm not going to say no. You know, she's a sweet thing. And, but I can tell you, we've had no traffic accidents. You are absolutely right about the variance in speed, but it will slow traffic down.
And council, we are a village, not a city.
Right.
We're country home estates, and to me, you're putting some reading and pictures, and I hope that you do put this in the OWL, because, and I'd like to see results after, please. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
They have signs on Route 21, but Independence also has signs on Pleasant Valley, especially where it's five lanes there. So
we do. That's a great point.
They have them on both roads, Pleasant Valley and 21. So I see them taking my son to school.
Right. And people are zipping off 77 and sometimes forget
that. I'm usually on Pleasant Valley. That's why I can't find Rob's.
Yeah, I'm on
21.
See?
No.
He made the
A-list. So then who benefits if you're zipping by?
Well, I'm not speeding by.
So,
yeah, no, you can still see him.
We've had calls literally from people from all over the country, because we get a lot of conventions in town because of Rockside Road. And people just say, we just wanted to say they were lovely. Thank you. My father was a veteran, my mother was a veteran, my Uncle Bill. And it was nice to see that people are being respected and appreciated.
But once again, it's the city of Brecksville versus
The village of Wellsville, and that's my whole commitment. And that's why another option is business support. I don't know how generous or non-generous your business partners are, your business residents. It's a thought. So any other questions from the residents or council or anybody else?
Thank you.
Yeah, in closing, Gary, it was so nice to meet you in person.
You too.
Council, thank you, Mayor. Please don't call Mayor Council person. and
you should tell Anthony that I thought you were.
We're in the middle of an election, too.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think we'll just keep the joy of it. But really, you should all be very proud to see this kind of turnout for the size of your town shows how engaged your community is. Good night,
thank
everybody.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
As far as the polls and everything, there's some very good comments. And we don't want overload. You know, we want classy. And I think Brecks, or Independence is very classy. We have a lot of polls now. Alexander's, we know, I can, maybe we can do an analysis, first of all, to see, as the lady said, how many polls are viable to begin with, so we know what we're talking about, some type of number, and if there are more polls that are viable, then we need right away to be classy, you know, they could be staged at every third, fourth, fifth poll, who knows, but do that research to kind of see, first of all, how many of these would we be talking about. I could fully see if they were on every single poll going down the street, people would be, you know, but if they're on every, you know, just so often, I don't know if that would be a problem. But that's where I would start, seeing how, just kind of getting an idea of what the number we're talking about to begin with, and where they would be, you know.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
That where they would be was one of my thoughts. Would residents rather see them on Alexander, or would they want to see them in front of their own home, which might be McClellan or Deer Ridge? You know, and is that something that would be possible so they do see it every day?
Right.
Some people don't drive the same direction.
Well,
I'd also like to add that maybe to take into consideration what we spend annually on flags for Alexander Road, you know, and Northfield Road, you know, take that into consideration, because this is a 2-year commitment. You know, I don't know what we spend per per year on flags.
Rob, you want to comment on that?
You had mentioned that before.
People have wondered why we have taken the flags down, and Rob, you can kind of comment on how that evolved. It happened, you asked me, and I said, do what you think as the service director, what makes the most sense.
So we have 110 flags that line Walton and Alexander Roads. That's not counting the military flags on Northfield Road Bridge. Some fade pretty much in 1 year. To replace them, you're knocking on the door of almost $5,000. So what I went to the mayor with is I said, you know what, how about if we do Memorial Day, July 4th, and then why don't we put them away so we can get two seasons out of them? And he said, if you think that's what's best, go ahead and do that. So that's why that decision was made. If we're doing one, your point's extremely valid. I mean, if we're doing one instead of the other and we make the investment, if we all can agree on where they would best be suited, whether which pole is, you know, works for it. I didn't think personally we're allowed to mount anything to the utility poles, but it's something we can look into.
Well, Mr. Mayor, pardon me, to add to Jennifer's point there, that when we put this in the OWL, we can ask, do you want it on Alexander, or do you want it on McClellan, you know?
Right, your personal street.
Yeah, if we could do something like that, I don't know. Or we all put it on Alexander.
They want it on Sunny Drive.
Well, that's what you're for, Rob.
Well, there's no poles.
Then you're going to have to be putting one up.
So what do you want?
I'm going to put it in the OWL, okay. Because it seems more the place where something like this would go. And I don't know, the next time you have mornings with the mayor, you can bring it up. So when people are looking through, get feedback to who's interested, have Rob, in all his spare time, take a look at the polls and see what's viable and see if you know, what looks good on Alexander.
That lady, I don't believe you were, I think you were out of the room when that lady said she gave us the phone number of the man that's from their service department.
Yes.
Is now an expert on viable polls.
Yes.
What that means. So you might want to contact him and he may want to shoot over and
that's good. Yeah, there you go.
I just quick on level two. Has anyone looked at another company just for the heck of it?
Well,
why I say is because Independence has a lot of money.
Oh, sure.
And we don't. So maybe because they just got a price from somebody, they may have just said, hey, that's great.
Well, there's someone else I'm going to look at with
this.
Yeah,
I think maybe that might be better.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to see if anybody was even interested.
Oh,
because,
it is a great idea. It's just that I'm kind of concerned about the $200 that you're going to have to pay to put my father on there, you know, and that's a lot of money.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to look at other companies.
Just Rob going up there, and we need a bucket truck, don't we?
Don't get me started on that.
So we'll put it in the OWL.
Okay, OWL in the journal.
Put it in the journal.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify for everybody, it was the cost of the banners are $172, which is what the person purchasing the banner would pay. Then there's a separate quote that we have for $142 each, and that's the cost of the hardware, deluxe bracket kits. So it is $142, at least from this company, for 43 of them, coming to just over $6,100. So there is, that's what the cost is. I guess, yeah, that kind of defers it, but.
Everybody good? Okay, we'll move on to the next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is
for some quotes that we received, and I did email everybody the bid package, or you should have received it. Did everybody receive it?
I don't think I did. No? I don't think I did. I didn't see any.
No. I can go and make copies of this real quick.
Did you get a package from him? Did you get a package from him?
No.
Or an email and stuff about it? No, I didn't either.
Katie gets back with the. We did send out a letter to residents in 2000, not to residents, to businesses in 2017 for. Actually, it was Mayor Hirsch did that for advertising, and they had the cost of that advertising in there. Now, they, as far as advertising is concerned, they only sent out either a full page or a half page. But as you'll see in this package, there's full page, half page, quarter page, or an eighth page. I don't know if we want to keep it simple or do all those variations and what type of money we would want to be asking. And I'm certainly no expert on how much we should be asking, but there was 2017 prices that the village was asking. So anyways, what it boils down to is three separate proposals, one from Ackland Printing, one from Postnet, and one from Saturn Press. We're all talking 1,200 books. Two of the companies, Postnet and Saturn Press, their quote was for 76 pages. Ackland was for 80 pages. We have, they are all, like I said, 1,200 books. Ackland Printing, white coated on one side cover with the UV coating, black and white, and saddle stitch is $2.49 a book. For 1,200 of them, my public math was $2,988. Postnet for 1,200 books, 76 pages, color glossy cover, and that would be four pages in cover in color, which would be the front, the inside front, the inside back, and the back page. Saddle stitch, $2.37 per book. 1,200 of those is $2,844. Saturn Press, 76 pages. Saturn Press, 76 pages. Now this is black and white only, laminated cover stapled. It's $2.75 per book, and that adds up to $3,300. So we have $2.49 from Ackland. Postnet is $2.37, and Saturn Press is $2.75. The totals on those would be $2,988, $2,044, and $3,300. I took our last, one of my directories that I had in my desk, and there were 12 advertisements on that book, and just a half a page advertisement I calculated. The 2017 that was sent out from Mayor Hirsch, a half a page was $125.
and that came up with my math, $1,500, if I didn't have it right. Oh, yeah, about $1,500. So we can realistically, at a minimum, probably take that $1,500 off if we got advertisements off of this cost. The prices that we had in 2017, a half a page was $125. A full page inside front cover was $275. And that was the same for the inside back cover. And a full page outside back cover was $400. So it went from a $125, $275 to $400. And those were either a half page or a full page, depending on where they were located in the book. I believe it was Saturn gave me, because in 1 year they did, Saturn did do our books.
Right.
And they gave me, you'll get it in your packet, this, for sizing to give to, and I've got a PDF on that, to give to the companies to fit their ad in. And again, that's they did do the full page, half, quarter page, and an eighth page. So that's basically all I have, comparing apples to apples. I know the last time we talked, I do believe we decided on a glossy cover, something that was, and Gloria had mentioned that for where they were and things like that. Ackland, I think it was Ackland here. Yeah, Ackland had these other books with either this plastic ring binding or the wire ring, and we decided the last time that we did not want that. If anybody wants to pursue that, I can go into the cost of that. We did have, in your packet, there's a cost for that binding also. It is a lot more than the saddle stitch. But we were talking about, having it get caught on things like in the cover and in the drawer, things like that. So that's basically it. I thought that, we could either decide on a company this evening or ask first. I don't know if they would be willing to make us a sample so we could see their work. I don't know.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead,
gentlemen. Thank you. Brian, I'm not sure that I'm sold on a glossy cover because the least cost difference between it is going to still cost us almost $600, and the most is going to be upwards of over $900. So because we have quotes here also from Saturn and...
We have Saturn, no lamination, that's $2.10 a book.
Right, and Ackland is $2 a book, even.
We do have, let me get the post net. I believe there's one.
I can move it. I got too many copies.
Maybe not. No, that was close net. I had to write them back because they're the ones that gave me the $2.10 a book for the no lamination, and I asked them to get the lamination. And Ackland was $218, white uncoated cover, white inside pages, all black ink, so no color. Cover.
Yeah, but that's with the GBC binding, that ring binding. Saddle stitch is $2 each.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right, I missed it. You're right. $2 in Detroit, inside pages all blank, black and ink, saddle stitch. So that's the difference between the uncoated and the coated. I mean,
is there a difference between the saddle stitch and the perfect bound from Saturn? Because it says we'll lay flat.
It lays flat.
So it'll
square too.
Yeah, like it's square. It's like a book. It's like glue, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a printer, so I don't. But
We've never had that.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
I know we have crystals here. Maybe she knows more than I do about that type of process. I don't know.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
The perfect bound.
It's a heat process. I don't know what else to say about it. It is a heat process, so you end up with like a square binding as opposed to a staple binding.
Okay.
Does it peel apart easily?
Yeah.
Like a stenol pad? Yes. Is that the heat process you're talking about?
Yes, it is a heat process. So it's like a glue that the pages then stick to after it's heated up. Hmm. So over time it will wear, and over time those pages could potentially fall out.
Maybe a coiling would probably hold up better.
A coiling would snap.
Our staple ones hold up.
Staple ones.
That's our last two.
Yeah, the saddle stitching is a
good thing. Right.
Yeah. But they don't lay flat.
Well, hopefully we only need it for 2 years.
Can we do what we did before, just so we get this done, get moving on?
Yeah, I mean, what's your contention, if I may ask Jennifer, about the other than the cost?
I would just say to save the cost where you can. You know, I mean, this is something the village was doing this every 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got phone books dating back to 1988, you know, that are still intact.
Right.
I have
a village directory, to be honest with you, that is not laminated.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Go with the black on black with the regular covers stapled and you're done.
I do not have, let me see, we've got $2 here, because I want to be fair to everybody, compare apples to apples. $2 from Macklin Print, correct? Postnet, I believe that was...
I didn't quote you for that, because we had talked about just doing...
Exactly.
Well, hold on, your Postnet.
So I do not have a quote from Postnet. Is there a time frame that you can get us a quote?
I can get it to you tomorrow morning.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah, sure.
So we can look at that.
And you're talking about non-gloss cover, correct?
Mm. Non-gloss, black and white.
Black
and white.
So.
And then... Saturn, let me see if I have a quote from them. I believe I do.
Saturn, there were two quotes, Brian. One was...
$2.10 a book.
Right.
Yeah. No lamination. And that was perfect bound, but probably the cost between that and the staple is... I guess will be insignificant, so that would be $2.10 a book. So we're talking $2 a book, $2.10 a book, and whatever Postnet can give us.
Okay. And did you say that Lisa was going to send a list out, rather a letter out to all the new residents for the last 2 years? Or Mayor, I know you and I had talked about that.
Right.
And stuff, just informing the new residents, you know, what this is, because it's been, I mean, Lisa said this year alone there were 60
right.
new residents, so I asked if she could send a letter out to over the last 2 years all new residents so they would understand, just saying this is what we do, we haven't done it in some time, we're doing it again, would like to know if you want to be included.
Mm-hmm. And I would request it be placed in the OWL in the journal again for information, because I know I've had people come up to me and ask me, oh, my phone number's changed, how do I do it? I know you're working on that. So.
What's the goal to have this public? Because I think we've been talking about it quite a while. It's pretty
minor.
Well,
we
started just before the summer, actually. But Crystal,
I started it in earnest right before we broke.
Crystal, how long would something like that take to print once you have all the info?
So we're looking like a 2020-21 edition at this point.
Yeah. Now that's PDF that ready though. I mean, if somebody has to type out addresses,
they're in Excel right now.
Okay. So.
Which can be PDF.
It can be.
Yeah, exactly.
A PDF. You still have to worry and take care of the advertising part.
Exactly. That's. And I would suggest we start with the advertisers now, and that's what I want to talk about. Not only this, but I'm going to put this in for one more month. What my timeline would be is put this in the OWL and the journal for one more month and have this ready to go in November to be printed.
Is that for more bids, or?
No.
So the bidding's closed then?
Well, Crystal's going to give us something for Postnets for the non-laminated cover. She did not bid on the non-laminated, or give us a price, their price on the non-laminated cover.
For the whole job?
For the whole job.
Well, she's been exposed to these bids now. I don't think that's very ethical.
Well, we're talking a difference.
I mean, nothing personally against you, young lady,
no,
okay? I just don't think it's...
So what do you want to do, Dennis?
Close the bid. Bids are closed.
This is not... The amount doesn't warranty that. You guys decided who you want to use, who you've already got the bids. You got the things. We got next meeting, decide who you want to use.
Yeah, and that is a valid... Benny does have a valid concern. I don't want to... gloss over that. He's got a very valid concern. And we want to be fair to everybody, all the companies. But my timeline would be what I'm envisioning is having this all set out, sent for ready for printing in November, have it back so the residents can have it by the end of the year. And in the meantime, we start soliciting businesses.
Well, the next journal and OWL will be the November issue. So you'll have to put a deadline on, what day in November they need to be.
October 1st.
Right. What day they need to be returned to the Village Hall by.
Right. And are you going to contact the new residents personally? I mean, besides.
I spoke to the mayor.
Just to send something out to the new residents. That.
Yeah.
Right.
Dem's already been in the OWL, and we've already returned that stuff. Who's got that?
Not everybody, though. That's the problem.
How would that happen?
Because they don't read every OWL. They don't read every journal.
So you're going to...
So I just want to give people the most opportunity that we can.
Okay.
I mean...
But we've been there, done that. I understand
your point. I'd rather do that than put false information in the thing, and then we got people calling us up saying, well, that's not my phone number, that's not my, or I don't want to be in there, or whatever. I'd rather be able to say it's been in there multiple times, and this is the information we have, and that's it.
I know we did the 14 one, which was the last one. Some people, you notice their phone number's not in there, and they were upset that it didn't get in there, and, it's... I know what you're saying.
But who's got the information
so we'll have
that
to
we
put,
sent in already?
We do.
We have that.
We'll put in there as the last chance.
Last call.
Yeah.
Simple as, last chance. You want your number, and we did allow, there's email addresses in them. They can put an email address in there. You can put your cell. You notice the 14 one does. Some people have an email address. They have an email address. They have their cell. They have their house. You can, you know, whatever they want to put in there. So we'll make note that they can do that, too.
Do a code red.
What's that?
Do a code red.
911?
No. Do the blast.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Then we can do that, too.
Well, I will say, Karen, that being with the OWL, and we had the survey in the OWL, and it's still in the OWL this month, we're still getting people that have responded that said, thanks for putting the survey in. Well, it's been in most of the year. You know, so, but I'm getting different people that are responding, you know, that they just realize it's there now. So people don't always notice everything, unfortunately.
With the advertisers, do we want to go with keeping it simple, or do we want to give them all these options?
See, to me, I think it's just either give them quarter page, half page, or full page. What do you think?
I
agree.
There is a price in here. Are we happy with these prices? Again, this was a 2017 letter that went out. Or was going to go out, I don't know if it ever did. Half page again was 125. And then the full page for the inside cover was 275, and then the outside back cover was $400.
Do we know how many pages on a 76 page book or 80 page book that we need for residents? That so how many pages do we have potentially for advertising?
If I had my book, I'd be able to tell you that the last book I had 12 advertisers.
Thank you. So say if we know how many pages we're looking at for advertising, and if you give me a few days, you know, we can hopefully figure prices so that it's paid for itself completely.
I want to
start calling companies. Sure, but we just need to know the amount of resident pages. The map in the center will virtually stay the same.
Yeah. See, this one has a thing for notes, and you know.
Yeah. See, that's wasted, lost space.
Don't read my notes.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
There you go.
And inside cover seven, and then we had, of course, the village information. So basically seven pages, if you want to make sure I counted that right.
I'm you're sure
more, well, Jennifer's more used to the printing aspect of it.
Want
to see it take a look real quick. I feel like we're in school. Two. Okay, so that is an opportunity lost. Three.
Okay, so let's. Six,
eight.
So we want a quarter page, half page, and full page.
I agree.
Are we happy with these prices of here right now? I don't know one from the other. I got to be honest with you. I have no idea.
Six.
2 years old. Let's see what our response is.
Do you have any questions?
Suggestion
that
I
would make is because the directory is already 8.5
by 5.5. I
think it would be
tough
to do a quarter page
ad
because
their
full page
right
now
is
technically already
9 pages.
So that's
not
important.
Would
any idea on like on price?
Potential 10 pages.
That's an article, that's an hour.
I wouldn't be the one to ask about
that.
That
would
probably be more in Jen's
email. We have a potential there of 10 pages worth of advertising. She's got inside covers, front and back, back cover, and then pages that were just for notes. I mean, that's just wasted space to me.
Right.
sell it.
Well, I'll go along with Jennifer's recommendations, the $2 per book, and 10 pages worth of potential advertising. Now,
that would include the cover, the back cover and the inside cover, front and back.
Crystal made a good point, because this is not 8.5 by 11 mm-hmm. or whatever, it's on a full sheet of paper, then a quarter right. ad is kind of difficult. Maybe we should just break it down to a half page and a whole page.
Well, this is, that would be your quarter page there.
Yeah, you could do it.
Looks like the smallest is more like a third.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't really get
go
much
in, a half
in there.
And a full page.
Half and full, and then we get more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
it's small half page and a full page in these prices, just stick with these prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. The businesses, and I thought I emailed Lisa Canzoni did email me at one point businesses in Walton Hills. Now, some of those businesses I can see that they would not want to advertise just because they have no in and out emails.
Should we go back to the people who advertised in the last one first?
I would.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
I would. A couple of them aren't there anymore.
But
we know.
Yeah.
We can do that, and in the meantime, I'll give myself and the rest of the police committee homework to we can within this week and a half here, I can email, split up the companies, and we can make phone calls if that's what you want to do. Unless you want to have the village call on, as opposed to council people call, and that's would be I don't know what.
Well, we'll call or send an email. We can do that in house.
So
yeah, I'll get the list.
You don't have any problem? Okay. I don't mind doing it. I just from company would rather hear from
the village itself. I agree. Yeah. So we'll do it.
Brian, these pages, these prices only allow for half pages. Would you allow for a full page, just regular?
For an ad?
Mm-hmm. See, it only allows half pages, and then inside front cover, inside back cover, and outside back cover. There's not a price listed for a full page inside, so I mean, we could tweak those prices some then to...
Just say $275, that's, I mean...
Well, that's the same as your premium pages.
I know. Does anybody really know the back cover is a premium page?
Advertisers do, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, pick a price.
I think we charged them $500 for the back page. But we had issues collecting the fee.
We'll work out well
after. Well, inside...
If you kept inside...
Front back cover is $275.
If you were going to keep half pages at $125, I would make a full page $275, a regular full page, or rather $225.
$225.
Because you want to give them a little bit of a discount for going to a full page.
Yeah.
It wouldn't cost them $250. They would have some cost savings there.
So full page $225.
Mm-hmm. And then I think
the cover is $275.
I think you should. You could stick with that, or you could even push it up more for that $50. People that want that spot are going to be willing to pay for it, especially for something that's going to be sticking around for 2 years. You could push that up to $300. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For the back cover.
So we got $125, $225, $300, and $400. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay, so, yeah, Denny has a very valid point with Crystal being here. You should have walked out with her.
We're asking her questions.
We could have phoned her. You know, we're talking $2, $2.10. You know, we're not talking a big amount of difference. What I would almost like to see is, and we probably can't do this, but copy it at work. I don't know if they're all going to be the same, 6-1, half a dozen together, or what. I don't know. But
we should have samples, though. I mean, work.
I could tell you, as full disclosure, PostNet is who's currently printing the owl.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who printed the last one?
I think that was Saturn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they do have, you know, they're ready to go with it. And I'm sure all these other ones are too, but they have no problem.
Whatever you want to do. This.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you want to email me tomorrow, and I'll get that to everybody.
I mean, I will, but still, I'm not sure, you know, what Denny said about what happened. So me being here tonight, if that's really fair.
Total? No. Total, we're talking, the lowest one here would be $2,520. No, I'm sorry. Would be
$2,400.
For the $2,000.
There's no requirement that we need to bid it.
That's
out.
Right. But we still want to be fair. We don't, you know, disparage the cash. Then he does have a good point. And that was my fault. I did not get that bid. I apologize to you. I'll take responsibility for that. I thought we were going with the last 2 o'clock.
Right.
That we wanted the laminated cover.
I mean, if you're worried about that, let's say, I mean, think about it. Just thinking about it's fair, you could say, I mean, if that's the conversation, then you say we had a bid for this amount. All three people can rebid it. Who could give the best bid out of those three? And then that's fair to everybody all over again.
Yeah.
If you wanted. I mean, that's a fair way of doing it. And then you just pick the lowest one. I mean, and that way no one knows what the other three, you know, what everybody's bidding. But you have to give them what we just talked about. So they know.
I can contact these other two.
But that would be up to you. That's the only way. I mean,
and have that information to everybody, so we're ready to go on this next week.
Yeah, that would be up to you, Brian. I mean,
is that acceptable to everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that acceptable for you? We need to be.
That way, no one knows.
Get it done and out. Get it out to the rest of us. Okay. So I will call them. And have them redo their black and white ink, saddle stitch, non-laminated cover. Correct?
That's what I understand everybody.
Yep.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Any other questions from the residents or
right.
Council?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to clarify, will it be 76 pages or 80?
I don't know.
We'll go with 80. Yeah, we don't want to go less, so go 80.
Go with 80. The other two bids.
You got to meet the next
one. Well, actually, only one bid put 80 pages, and two of them, PostNet and Saturn, had 76 pages.
But you got to give them all the same. So they can all do this.
Well,
can you do pool? I can, but you know, I brought this up to Brian before. At 76 pages, you're already getting so large and thick that it's difficult for the staples to go through. 80 is probably max that you can go to, but I know 76 certainly will hold. So I would recommend not going above 76 pages.
Is that the same as saddle stitch?
Yeah, that's what saddle stitch is, where you use a stapler to stitch the bubble together.
And go with 76, as long as everybody gets the same.
I will talk to Applin, and they're the ones that bid the 76. I doubt that it's going to do any.
But even though it's paper, is it a heavier weight than the regular page? Is the cover, the back cover, a heavier weight?
If it would go gloss.
No, that's not gloss.
If it's regular paper, then no, it's the same.
Oh, it's the same. Okay.
Yep. You're saying cover is going to be paper? Correct. 20 pounds.
The same weight?
It would be the same weight.
Seven.
Is that what our other paper was? This one's that glossy, but our other one,
the other paper was like...
Oh, the other one was cardstock.
And it was a heavier box.
Yeah, it was a cardstock.
So that would be a different price point. If you wanted cardstock front, that would change the quote. So you'll have to specify the weight of that paper that you want in the front. If it's heavier, it's gonna. I can tell you right now that the gloss and the heavier cardstock paper, at least your postnet, is the same exact price. If you use a gloss cover versus a cardstock cover at postnet, it'll be the same exact price point. If you're using just a regular paper, a 20-pound regular piece of paper, your price point will change. And I would assume that would be the same at Ackland and then at Saturn as well.
Well, you need to ask them that too now, Brian.
Because the wear and tear is just paper.
Yeah. I was thinking it was going to be cardstock.
Yeah, I thought it was
paper. Yeah, that's what they've always been.
That's what they used to be. I used to write all over them.
Cardstock will be the same price as the gloss paper. Now, the price will change if it's black and white versus color, but
right.
For us, the price point is the
Is everybody, you got to at least go with the cardstock.
Yeah, black and white cardstock.
You don't need a glossy, but you need the cardstock like we need the one before this, okay?
Okay. We're going to go with 76 pages, cardstock, black and white, saddle stitch. $1,200. Does that cover it?
I really like the styrofoam.
I'd like to resign from the information.
Not until after this. You got a few more months yet at the end of the year.
Okay, I will send this out. My guess is these numbers are going to be
close.
So that's what we're looking at.
We gave Alexander a little less time.
You're going to do this one in less time right here. Is everybody good?
Yep.
All straight on that. Anything from the residents?
Yes.
How
many people have responded to these surveys, roughly, in the owl in the last year? How many responses have you gotten back in the last year?
I want to say almost 150.
150. Mm-hmm. You're going to print 1,200 of these. Yeah.
No.
And the reason I ask
The survey that's in the OWL sort is about what people want to see in the OWL versus what they want to see in the journal. What we're talking about printing is a phone book.
Okay. That you haven't done in 6 years, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I download it to my phone?
You can, but there's 30% of our residents are seniors, and they don't.
I understand that. It just seems that in this day and age of technology, I mean, my mother's 78, she's texting and using the internet and her phone. It seems like you're wasting a lot of energy on something that I'm going to recycle because it won't serve my needs anymore. It's all on my phone or it's all on the internet. So that's just my point.
No. It is. It's a good point. What has happened? This isn't something this committee or this body has just decided to resurrect.
They've asked
for it.
Okay, all right.
No, that's the point. You're exactly right. It's a different, but the residents, it wasn't just like we haven't done.
Then is it possible then that this book also then can be a link on the website?
Sure.
That I simply could download if I wanted it, or go to the website, find it simple?
Yes, we'd have to ask their permission if they want their phone number. You know, that would be one thing we would have to ask. They want their information on the web, you know, on it or something like that. Because this, they know, is kind of contained.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I still use
it. And I would do the same thing. I do too. I would just download
it. I like them. I have all my contacts in the phone, but still.
People love the address. One reason we didn't do it, because of the expense of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's at the point, well, I don't have no directory anymore, and you know, people.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. Any other questions?
No, I will say, Mr. Mayor, that St. Michael's School publishes one every year.
Yeah.
So that parents are able to get in touch with each other, find homes when kids want to stay over, you know, so that's, and it's only in paper. It's not any other way and stuff. So it is kind of self-contained because only those school children's parents receive a copy of it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear something, and this is just, as people have said, you live in a village. You're not in a directory. I mean, like, in other words, oh my gosh, you're not in a directory. You don't live in the village. You know, the you're not in a directory. It's kind of like, you know.
You're not a member.
Yeah. in some ways, it makes the village kind of unique in kind of that small town feel. But people have said that, oh, you're not in a directory. No, they live here. Is everybody ready for the next one?
Yep.
Next item. So this one will be easier because it doesn't cost us anything. Egbert Road Forest Main recommendation. As you can see, we did give the bids back. Joe Gelati and Don Rob, they opened the bids. There was three bids. I know there's some question about why Terrace, who is being recommended, for the job is so much lower than the other two. I know Katie has said it, inquiring that. I know I talked to Joe, Rob, I know you mentioned thing, and he said he did call him back, and it is an accurate quote, and it's, you know, it's below the engineer's estimate, way below. So we're asking that council accept this bid. 50% of it will be paid by NEO RSD with a grant. The other 50% is going to be paid for through Cuyahoga County Sanitary Sewer Fund. So there is no out of pocket to the village. And the start date would be around December 1st. So that is for the lift station sanitary over there. And
I'm sorry, Mayor. 50% was by the NEORSD, and the other 50%?
It's going to be paid for through our Cuyahoga County Sanitary Sewer Fund.
Okay.
So it's going to be done by March?
We're hoping. Just depends on the weather, Denny, and how everything goes. I hope everybody would be in agreement if we get some legislation prepared and get it passed, and then they can award the bid.
Mr. Mayor. It's very concerning to me. I'll pass this, but we do get bonds on this because this guy's more than 50% beneath the other two. I mean, normally if there's more of a 10% spread, you throw them out. And I'm not wanting to pay more money. I mean, we're not paying for more money, but it's kind of scary. I mean, the one line item is $84,000, and the other one's $343,000. And you did talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
But July, he spoke to Terrace directly.
Okay.
Yeah, and he actually sent an email. Joe told you the same thing.
You have emails?
You better make sure that bond's good. That's all I'm going to tell you.
I will tell you this, Terrace, you're familiar. We haven't had problems with Terrace. They do a lot.
They have a good reputation. Yes, I know who they are. I'm just shocked at the price difference.
Well, there was quite a difference in the pricing when Alexander Road went out for bid.
That's true. They must have left a lot on the table. I don't know.
I'll tell you where the conversation goes. It goes to exactly where construction is. A lot of companies, they're so busy now, they will quote it, but it's a quote that is hey, if we get it, I'll hire guys to do it. I mean, this is really where the business is right now. What this tells me, two are probably very busy, and the other one is slow. If you look, these aren't even the regular companies that bid our work. Mm-hmm. Usually there's three companies that bid our work, and they're different. And it's probably because the other companies are busy. The construction out there is busy. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, Mr. Mayor, it does.
That's true. That was just me with speculation, talking with Joe a little bit and stuff, that it could be because, you know, hey, if we get the job, we'll take that and we'll hire guys or we'll pay them the overtime and we'll do that. I mean, we're seeing that more and more. I can just tell you, it's hard. You probably know from your house, if people that come to your house even more, or they give you a price that's. Yes.
Well, look at the difference just between Marco and 1127. I mean, that's a big number there.
It's $100,000 right there.
But if you look at also the earliest start date on all of these, Terrace Construction, who is presumably winning our bid, their earliest start date is December 1st. Wortco's earliest start date is January 2020. And 1127 Construction start date isn't until February of 2020.
February for the one guy.
They only take 5 days to complete.
I'll tell you what, award to two high jobs, and you're gonna be questioned.
Oh, absolutely.
You're certainly not going to be able to award a job that's twice as much and say why you need to take the lowest bid.
Well,
certainly not in government, it ain't going to work.
I'm not going to disagree.
Somebody's going to say who's working for who, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We award a bid that's twice as much as one, the lowest bid. I know if I was the lowest bid and somebody awarded one of those bids, I would challenge it.
Well,
go ahead, Steve.
I understand what Mary is saying.
Oh, I understand fully too. But
the difference is very significant. Sometimes you do get what you pay for. And that was my question. Has Gelati, not Gelati, but CBE, done work with Terrace before? And obviously they have, so they're comfortable with them, so that alleviates a lot of my concern. But yeah, you got to, that's the thing that struck me. It's like, holy mackerel. But you're right, they don't have any work. They're ready to go to December.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, what's the engineer's estimate on this? What would you know?
I don't have it. Do you speak that?
Yeah, it's 570 was the engineer's estimate.
Well, I mean, it's no different than what we ran into on Dunham Road. We self-performed it. The lowest price we got, we had an engineer's estimate at 19.5. Joe and I talked about it. I agreed with it. Our lowest number that we got from a contractor was $32,000.
No one wanted to even do the job.
Everybody's busy. It was on July 27th we performed the work. Everybody's busy. Nobody wanted to do it. They figured for $32,000, they'll figure it out.
Right.
So I'm thinking we might be seeing the same thing. Terrace does most of Cleveland Water's work. I mean, any hydrant replacements and stuff like that. So it's not that they're not familiar.
Right.
Good management of the project, if Terrace got the job and falls on their face, so what? We subsidize their force, we get another contractor in there.
Right.
I think what would be, because it is a good concern, what I'll do is I'll have Joe just comment on it, and then we'll have he can comment on it and also shows we reviewed it and have some concern. And everybody's welcome to give him or Don a call, you know, if you want to talk to him about it. No, I'm just saying. It is, when you look, it's
surprising.
Yeah, go ahead.
The big number seems to be this 4-inch sanitary force main board. I don't know, that seems to be the discrepancy between each company. We have one at 343 and one at 385, but then Terrace is at 84. I guess that's.
I need to go back and talk to Joe about it.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe Joe, I mean, that seems to be the big difference in the numbers.
That jumped out of them, and that's why he called Terrace back. Because they wanted to make sure Terrace didn't make a mistake. He because it wasn't one of those things, you see this, it jumps out at you. It's not like, you know what I mean, somebody looking to see something and you wonder, hey, is that right? You certainly don't want to have some miscommunication there or having them not understand the bid package. So, but we don't have to, you know, we'll prepare the legislation. I'll send Joe an email and he can explain if anybody wants to contact Joe. I'll have him just kind of give an explanation, kind of detail that he called Terrace and it's, and he feels they'll do a good job. His recommendation, as you guys see from the letter here, is to accept this. Accept this bid. So he did put a letter together. The village has received 3 bid proposals for the project. Those are the Evan Road Sanitary Force Main. Bid tabulation attached. I've reviewed the bid proposals and have identified the lowest and best bid proposals being submitted by Terrace Construction in the amount of $159. I am therefore recommending that Terrace Construction be awarded the contract.
The half that comes from the sewer does come out of our funds, though, right, that are held by the sewer maintenance fund.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So it is better for us to be less employed.
Right.
We're paying for it.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, well, that's certainly
good. Well, you may also take a loan on it. I'm not sure if we're pay out the sewer fund yet. Yeah, we're going to talk to you about our options.
Right. So I understand. Okay, we can do that, too.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Rather than telephone conversations back and forth with different engineers and whatever, I'd like to see something in writing.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. I mean, you have a record.
Something back and write a sign that this is, you know, we're concerned about it and sign it. So if it doesn't work out.
No, that's not. I mean, basically, you have it. I mean, his job, our engineer's job, is to review these bid tablets. They're trained in it. They know what to look for. They called on it, and he gave us a letter of recommendation. But I will send an email to him and say we noticed it, that there's a big discrepancy between the 3 bids. Do you understand? What's the reason? You know, and then he'll whatever he has told us. I just gave you a verbal because that's what he communicated. He did send an email, but I can give you something more specific. Because if he didn't notice it and call, he would have been doing his job. So we're glad he did say he did make the call because we're paying him to review these. And, you know, he is our expert. So when he said he did inquire, is that price realistic? They said, yeah, that's the price we want to do it for. So, but I'll get another formal, another response. Anybody else have any questions on this? Yes, Diane.
My question is the time frame. One of them says 90 days, one of them 60 days, and the other one says 5 days.
Yeah.
No, that's the additional part on the alternate bid.
Right.
Where it says total project cost here is mm-hmm. the time frame, 90 days, 4 months till full restoration, and then one does say 40 days. Mm-hmm. But this is just the extra that they want to do.
Yeah, if you look right above it, is the complete 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
The other one has a days to complete function. It's almost a month there, over a month. And then 90 for the first one. Yeah, it's right above there.
Right.
So. Yeah, it's something. Gosh, you get something like that. You know. But we're glad it went in our favor. Yes, go ahead, Greg.
I have a question on the I want to be clear on the funding source. It has come from the NERC,
grants,
MCIP, whatever. Remember Community Infrastructure Fund or program. And then the other 50%, did you say that comes from the Sanitary Sewer Fund? Is that
NERC?
NERC is MCIP. That's what they're. But then the other 50%, is that from the apart from the $150 per year that each resident pays to the county? Is that the sewer fund you're referencing?
$5 a quarter.
Yeah.
$5 a
quarter. Yeah, that's the sewer maintenance fund that everyone's paying additional for. And
each quarter.
Those are what we use those
for. So this is a project that was recommended by the county?
No, this is a project. This is our fourth sewer lift station down there, Rob can probably explain, on Egbert Road, which serves how many residents, Rob? Quite a few residents. We've had quite a few breaks on it. So it's, yes.
I'm only concerned about the funding piece. If the residents pay $150 per year to the county on our tax assessment for the contract with the county public works, is that the 50, other 50% of the funding for this project, other than the NERC money?
Yes.
So if it's not a project that is recommended by the Cuyahoga County Department of Public Works, how are we tapping into that fund?
No, it's been recommended.
That's what I asked. Is, is it a project that's recommended?
Yes.
This is a by the Cuyahoga County Department of Public Works.
Yes.
Is that what the project generated?
Rob, yes.
Yep.
We're not just going out looking for stuff to try to fix.
Because that's coming out of the residents, 150.
And it's going right back to the residents.
Right, I get it.
Yeah. It starts up there, I think, with the residents on Crawl Drive.
From Palgett all the way down through there, takes right. That, and then it pumps up Crawl.
Yeah.
And then through the woods and the Kaiden.
And Kaiden too, yeah. A lot of breaks on that. We've had a lot of breaks. How many do we have this year, Rob, so far? One or two, or in the last year? Yeah.
Two this year. We had, I think, three for sure last year.
This probably procured those breaks?
Yeah. And the problem with those breaks, Mr. Webb was spending those, that's sanitary, it's sewage. And then there's cleanup.
Yeah.
So it's not like a water break where the water's running, it's clean, it's dirty. So, it's something that needs to be addressed, it's sewage. And so then cleanup takes place there. People are exposed, and the environment's exposed to it. So it needs, yes. No one wants poop.
Unless it's windy, right?
It's
flies and
it's dirty.
Windy's okay.
Even if it's your own. Okay.
Too much information.
Well, I don't know what to say.
You set it up.
Good question, though, right? But yeah, I'm sure you got everybody looked at the bids and there's that questionnaire. So let me. I'll send an email to everybody, when Joe, I'll put a copy to everybody and Joe.
John, she, to my knowledge, is a member of Spirit of Swallowing. Just want to be...
Yeah, we should have it. Yeah, I agree 100%. Okay, any other questions from the residents, the council? Other business, the only thing I have is... Andrea Seleko from the Bedford School System will be here. She's the superintendent. Will be here next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. She contacted me and said I'd like to come. I'm going to all the communities in the school system, the four communities, and I want to come and talk about the infrastructure of the Bedford School System because there was a lot of talk about the decision the board made on the Chanel High School. What they were going to do there, and she wants to talk about the other infrastructure. So we certainly want to welcome her to do that. So she's going to come out and talk about that. As she said, it's about a 10-minute presentation, so I'll put her first. We'll have, I guess, for next week, what else do we want to put? We'll put the directory on here.
Yeah, we'll have some. It's all done until next week.
Okay.
We'll get it all squared away.
And we'll have legislation on it that we'll at least look at for Joe will get my response tomorrow for the forest main. And
should be good with that.
I think that's it. Should be
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
I watched an hour and a half of the video that was talked about earlier. I couldn't handle watching more than that. I was disgusted by most of what I heard. And I'm going to tell you guys I'm sorry that it happened. Never should have. I'm sorry. I can tell you when I started in the beginning of 18, I was directed personally by the mayor to not speak to the employees. I was only to ask him. I wasn't even allowed to ask Katie and send her emails. I know that employees were told not to speak to me. I'm sure there were many things that they were told about me. I don't know what. I do know that they were told, one of the things was that I wasn't actually a paramedic. I just drove an ambulance. So I don't know what else has been said about me to any other residents. If you have a question, I think most of you employees now know you can come to me. I'm not whatever I was portrayed to be. And on that note, I would like to have next week that legislation that we talked about with the hiring and firing of employees. And also, if we could get some legislation requiring an independent HR for our employees.
We already have someone in place.
We have someone in place, but I said, is there a way that, I asked John last time, is there a way that we can have legislation that would specifically ensure that that independent and independent HR would have to be maintained?
Oh, I see what you're saying, just to keep it in place.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a problem. We don't want to, that's a great idea. That's a great idea, just keep it in place. Yeah, that was a problem. That's my ask the other day. I would have had it on here for today if you wanted to talk
about
it. You might have
it. No, that's all right. That's all right. I know we talked.
So that's not a problem. Because what we did, I signed that agreement with them, and they didn't really want like a long term. We didn't want a long term with them because maybe they won't work out. The employees might be not happy with them. It was $7,200, as you guys know, for the year. And that's coming out once a month to do the training and stuff like that. So what you want to just put in place is that we have to keep something. We have to keep an HR. Good.
Third party.
Problem. So we really don't even, why we're here, we don't even really, we'll just put something together. There's really no discussion on that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We can put it together. It's not like we'll have it on the agenda. And what was the other legislation?
About the hiring and firing, but we went through a few items you had sent over. And
yeah, I just sent the two. It was generic.
I mean, we can talk about it right now under other business, and then have more, so if you need want legislation.
I don't know if John has had a chance to review it yet or go through.
Well, what are we're looking for? We're looking, so who has the authority or?
I don't know if we want to go the hiring route. I know some of our positions are hired. You can look at 260 and, not only 260, but in, like the various, like the fiscal officer, mayor hires with council approval, a couple other ones.
The hiring part, I think, was that it's at least disclosed when there's nepotism of some sort of relation, even if by marriage.
Right.
I would think the hiring should also be if there's a discrepancy between the mayor and a department head, the department head needs to know that they can come to council.
Right. And as far as the dismissal, I know some people are protected more than others. Like the street commissioner is not, serves totally at the will of the mayor.
What's my contract for?
Oh, yeah, that's
right. He's appointed by council.
Yeah, disregard that. But there is another issue with when I spoke to you, that we have to support in a way. But there, and that needs to be, we got to go down the list.
Right.
Department heads.
Department heads.
And
need council approval.
Right.
And again, if the department head does not agree with the firing of an employee, they would be able to come directly to council.
Yeah, we were talking about that, that there was a discrepancy about firing someone in your department, you know, then they could come to us, like, mediate between you and the mayor, whomever that would be at the time, and then we would have some input in that, rather than, you know, what we've encountered in the past.
Right. Yeah, with people who are, we have tax administrator, the court clerk, right? You know, those types of people.
I just received today, and you'll, everybody will get it, I just received today from HR, you know, our partner in HR, I got it in front of me, I'm going to send it to everybody. I just received it today from Sonia. And it has, just a summary, she's got employee benefits, what she did. Summary of HR needs. She has a list of what HR needs. She felt with talking with just 17 to 20 of the employees that day. They haven't completed talking to everybody. They just started. They talked to 7 to 20 employees. Some with 2 employees there, some with 1. They could just walk in, whoever was here. And she put a list together. And one of the things, of course, is the corrective action process in a form. So that's kind of what you're referring to. And I guess what I'm saying is we can put something together, but you can also use them, too, if you want. I mean, you can call them or we can bring them in. I mean, if you want to use who we have to help with this. We brought them in not, you know, for various reasons to manage the HR here and make recommendations on what's needed and what's weak. I mean, that's what they do.
Is there a time I'm going to talk about? What's that manager?
Here's what happened, Katie. It wasn't their original day to come in. That's why I said the setup, and I was very open with everybody. They were originally coming in just to have me sign the contract, because it wasn't signed, the proposal, and just kind of get an idea what direction we want to go into.
Just want to know the scope, because I think my input would be valuable.
Well, here, Katie, I was very open with everybody that was here, and I said, you can go and talk to them. I want to get off, because actually they want to meet with the directors, okay, and Stan wasn't here. In fact, the employees that were here, I said, you guys can go and talk to them, because we're going to have a formal meeting with the directors alone. I said, Katie's not here, Stan wasn't here. Okay, so you weren't the only one. And that, of course, is going to happen. In fact, I didn't even sit down with them that day. The employees just sat down there, because that's what this is really about. It's about everybody's HR. You guys will have, council will have the same opportunity.
Well, Mr. Mayor, then why don't we put together something that maybe we can all agree on and bring them in and have them look at it, or however you all want to handle it?
I'm just saying they're there. It's another avenue. That's all.
Have you looked at, given any thought to it? I know you're really busy. All this other stuff. I can write whatever you want me to write. But there's some issue of a personnel manual that we're putting together. We have this new company. I think we should get more input, and I don't think we should rush into it right now.
We're going to follow the recommendations they have. And let's talk about that employee handbook. Okay? The only reason they're looking at it again is they're going to put their number in it. They're going to put their phone number in it. So I know me and you discussed, Katie, they put their phone number in it, they want to review it. Because they're going to be, we have no phone number in it now for a third party. They're going to be our third party that an employee can call if they have a problem. And so they put their phone number in there, they want to review it. They don't want to change it, they don't, unless there's things that they feel they need to, but they already looked at it and thought it was, you know, very good. So there's not a problem with that. But they put their phone number in. They want to review, which I don't think I blame them. Because that's the important thing. Make somebody doesn't want to even say who they are. I'm an employee. I don't want to give my name.
you need that. You know, you need that compliance. Yes?
I agree that we need some HR in here, but I think you ought to contact other communities and see how they handle hiring and firing. Not just take the word of this company. There's got to be a chain of command for things, you know, and reviews, and they were written up or something.
Mayor, police and fire are covered by a collective bargaining or police. Police is covered by a collective bargaining agreement that deals with these issues. They have a grievance procedure set up. How many employees do we have that are not covered by a collective?
Right, those would be the ones that we would address with that. Sherry, you had a question?
I would like to see you do something before the election.
Oh, no, they're already in place. They're already here. They're doing it right now.
Right.
Okay. I have their summary just sent today. I can forward, forward you what she sent me. It's not a problem. So, no, they've already been here. Actually, they've been here. One of the partners in there, it wasn't Sonia, it was Amy. She's the one who did the training when we brought them in. Katie brought them in, did the training, and that's how we ended up with this group. The employees felt comfortable contacting them, and that's what they did. We're like a perfect fit. We'll see if it works with the employees.
We just hope that, you know, if someone won the election that didn't like all this, that they would.
That's what the legislation is that they want to put in place.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Right, and there should be no problem by having that by our October.
But still, Mayor,
yeah.
No matter who the next mayor is going to be, they don't take office until January.
That is correct, yeah.
The election, getting it done by the election is not, but we should move on. I mean, it's only a few more months anyway until January, where we're in our winter post. But that's a great idea that Jennifer had, that we should at least have an outside firm, third-party firm in our legislation, that is a protection of everybody here in the village, and it gets us into compliance with all kinds of things, you know. So
I can create something if you want for next meeting, so you guys can
sure.
Want more information.
Well, we need it for the third meeting. So yeah, for next meeting you guys can review it, and then we can pass it on the third meeting. I certainly have no problem with that.
Mr. Mayor.
Whatever you guys want to do.
Mr. Montella, don't leave until I see you about this, okay? Something I have to sign.
It's not about me, is it?
It says Brian's, but it says BS all over it. I don't know.
All right. I don't have anything else under new business or other business. Does anybody else have anything? Do I have a motion for adjournment?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the COW meeting of October
1st,
2019.
Second.
Councilperson Wendell?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Yes. Meeting adjourned at 9:43. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.